on the clock, and we don't want to start any new patterns of starting late now, do we, on our last Sunday? So let's go ahead and start with prayer, and we'll have our custodians close the door on their way back. Father, we lift up this time to you because this is your house, this is your day. We study your word, and we also sing your praises. All of these things combined because of our celebration for all that Christ has done for us, for all that you have done for us, for every good gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. And we thank you for all these things. We pray that our relationship with the hymns will grow so that our relationship with you will grow. So bring those home to us, into our home, into our car, into our church, everything about us. Let us praise you more and more and more, that our faith in you may increase. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's sing our opening hymn. It's the one we memorized last month. So if you can do it by memory, you don't need to know the page number. But if you don't know it by memory, it's 660, O God Beyond All Praising. That'll be our opening hymn. Stand if you are able. This is a great standing hymn. 660, O God Beyond All Praising. Be seated. Amen to that. Our sacrifice of praise. Last week I gave you an exercise. Did anybody look into hymns that or ways that are useful to use hymns in the hymnal in your private, personal, and family devotions? Anything anybody wants to share about that? Yes, go ahead, Sandy. Okay. Okay, you speak for many.
Right, but for Thanksgiving, they're all coming to our house, and so instead of just a prayer, we're going to do a hymn first.
Okay.
Luckily, my niece's husband has a phenomenal voice.
Okay.
So I'm counting on him to sort of carry the thing through, but we are going to do a hymn for Thanksgiving.
Are you picking? Okay, so backing up, those who couldn't hear that, they're having Thanksgiving coming company over,
at our house, yeah.
And they're going to sing a hymn.
Yes.
One hymn? Are you choosing it, or are you?
Yes.
Okay.
It was one I looked at last week for Thanksgiving.
Okay, so that's exciting. She started with the disclaimer, they're not a musical family, and I said, you speak for many, but she has a niece's husband who has a phenomenal voice, and so she's going to ask him to lead the singing. And the more people hear other people, the more they feel comfortable doing it. So, awesome. Oh, great. Any other thoughts? Thoughts about, okay, here's the exercise. Bring suggestions of how the hymnal may be used in family or personal devotions. I don't like to put people on the spot, so I'm not going to wait until somebody raises their hand. We're just going to talk about that anyway, and I wanted to give you first shot at it. The title of this week is Bringing It Home. I think those of you who are following the calendar and hearing announcements, you know that this is the last week of the hymns class. So it's always been kind of leading towards this week. This is the week where we have talked about scriptures, we've talked about poetry, we've talked about doctrines in the hymns. Last week we talked about hymn usage in public worship, but this is the one where we want to bring it in to our personal life, our Monday through Saturday life, as well as our Sunday life. You know, we all sing hymns every Sunday. We love the hymns in this church, and it's our history. It's what our legacy is, as well as the Christian church. Christian church has been singing hymns from the very beginning, from the Last Supper. Before they departed, they sang a hymn or a psalm. But how do we get something that's just kind of on the unfamiliar ground into our daily lives? How can we become better at thinking of the hymns, searching the hymns, studying the hymns, preparing ourselves for Sunday worship, glowing in the hymns after Sunday worship? So let's talk about some of those ideas. First of all, we started with a hymn that we had been working on memorizing, right? So memorizing scripture, as we know, as long as we've been making an effort to memorize scripture, is hard but worth it. Why is it worth it? Because you never know, like Pastor was preaching today, how the Holy Spirit is going to use what you've hidden in your heart in a conversation, in a defense of the gospel, in a moment where you're fighting Satan. What does Jesus do in the desert? He quotes scripture. Three times Satan tempts him, and three times Jesus immediately comes back with scripture. That's what we hide the word of God in our heart for. And it's for our comfort. God's word is to comfort us because he has told us it's not going to be an easy road. You have to be prepared. Prepared for temptations, prepared for hardships, prepared with those promises that Pastor mentioned. Knowing and claiming those promises that get us through the dark nights of the soul and the nights we can't sleep, the nights we're ready to give it all up, the nights that we are just despairing of life itself. Scripture is what we lean on. So the hymns can be part of that because, as we learned, the hymns are just saturated in scriptures. So let's just go down this list of bullets because otherwise I'm going to start jumping around and get disorganized. First one I had was own a hymnal, and I added a psalter as well because, as you've learned coming to New Life, we do sing a psalm every Sunday morning from the psalter, and use those in your devotions. I say family, but I mean broadly any devotions that you have privately or family or Bible studies that you attend. So sing through them, read through them, memorize. I say read through them because not everybody feels comfortable with their own singing voice. I'd say probably more than half of us here today, if I said, are you uncomfortable hearing yourself sing? Are you uncomfortable other people hearing yourself sing? Sure, most of us are. Most of us in choir would say the same thing. I don't want people hearing my voice all alone. But we can read the hymns, right? So family devotions, even if you're a family of non-singers, just pull out a hymn and read through it. Great idea. Okay, read about the hymns. This is what I've been trying to bring every Sunday. We have this book loaning table of all the books I've accumulated over the years of stories about the hymns, stories about the hymn writers, 365 devotions, one a day with a hymn as its focal point. People who were writing about just the doctrines of music and how we use music in the church. That's interesting to some, but that's another good way. I put on the back of your sheet some suggestions. This is a very limited bibliography, okay? So you go to Google, you're going to find a lot more. And some of these are kind of old, too. But it's a starting place. If you want to just start with one book, I can recommend any of these. And then you can Google and find others. So devotional books involving hymns is the first list, and books involving worship is the second list, and then some websites where you can find hymns and their stories and their history is the third list. So take that as a reference for yourself. Okay, so now I'm saying meditate on hymns that go along with scriptures in the worship service. So this one I'm saying, you know, you have your worship guides, you have your bulletins, you can take them home, you can even look at them in advance. As soon as Allison gets them printed, she puts them on the website, you can go to that, and take a look at what scriptures are going to be read, what scriptures are going to be preached on. And because there is an index in the hymnal, page 900, the scriptures index, you can actually look up that scripture and see if there is a hymn that goes next to it. So if you're leading a devotion for your family or your spouse or just having one privately, and that's how you kind of organize it, is basing it on the scriptures that are in the worship services, you can use the hymnal to supplement that teaching. Like I said in one of the early classes, many hymn writers were pastors. They were people who were trying to reinforce the teachings from the scripture and from their sermon in the hymn singing. Isaac Watts is a great example of that. His father was a pastor. He went to him when he was a young boy and said, "Dad, why are the hymns we sing so boring?" How many of us have had kids ask us that? They're so slow, they're dirge-like, they're deathly, they put me to sleep. And Dad, being a wise dad, said, "You want something better? Write something better." Isaac Watts had an amazing gift for verse, for putting abstract thoughts into metered verse, and that worked perfectly for hymns. And most of his were written with the same meter. Same meter as Amazing Grace. It's called common meter because it's so common. Eight syllables, six syllables, eight syllables, six syllables. And he wrote thousands of hymns. Many of them we still sing and enjoy today. But the point that his father was making was also, you want scriptures, you want teaching, you want doctrines. You don't just want people, you know, whistling a happy tune. You want people absorbing and learning the truths of God's righteousness as they sing. Okay, so meditating on hymns that go along with the topics of your devotions. Here we have a topics index. It's very large. It's the longest of all the indexes. It starts on page 904. And you can spend a full hour just looking for one thing because they're categorized and subcategorized and organized, and it's pretty amazing. But there are many, many topics covered. And it's largely used as a pastor's tool or a worship organizer's tool to say, okay, here's the topic of this coming sermon. Let's find a hymn that goes with that topic. You can do that in your devotions as well. You're doing a devotional on, let's say, the tabernacle. Well, you look around in the topical index and you see, are there any hymns that would support that topic or teach me more about that topic? How's the sound in the back row? You hear me okay? All right, we turned it down a little bit because of echo. You need more? Okay, a little bit more? Up a little bit, thank you. We'll try to find that happy medium. Okay. Now, here's where the rubber really meets the road. Preview hymns posted on the church website. As I mentioned, if you go to newlifelamesa.org, the very first page, at the very top, there's like five categories, and one of them is worship guide. Click on that, it'll bring up a new page. Click on that, you can download your bulletin, maybe 3 or 4 days in advance. That's how you can prepare for the scriptures that are coming, the sermon title that's coming, the hymns that we're going to be singing. I've said a long time ago, 5 weeks, 6 weeks ago now, that it is not easy to follow the music of the hymns always. We love the familiar ones because now we don't have to learn the music. We can really focus on the words. But every now and then, that music hymn chooser guy chooses a hymn that we have never heard before. And we're a little bit lost. And we open up and we go, wait, where am I? What is the melody? And by verse 5, you've got the melody figured out, but you entirely miss the whole text of the hymn, right? It's happened to all of us. That's where you can come prepared. You can come ahead of time looking at the worship guide. And you can open up your hymnal that you have at home. Or, you know, if you don't have a hymnal at home, there's a website called hymnary.org. It has hundreds, thousands of hymnals you can choose from. And you can find the Trinity Hymnal, 1990. And every hymn will be in there. The text of every hymn is in there. Not all the music is in there because some of it's copyright. But all of the texts are in there. You can study those words. Then when you get to church, you know the words, you know the message of the hymn. You've actually meditated on it for a couple days now. And now you can learn the tune. You learn the tune as you're singing those words that you're already familiar with. I love that one. Okay, now that's before the service. Now after the service, you can bring your worship guide home. They're free. You get to take them home. You can take that home, keep it in your Bible or your hymnal. And you can look at all those hymns that you sang and you didn't quite catch the gist of it. And now you can have a devotional on those. Just reading through those verses. You could do one verse a day and that'll last you almost a whole week. So preview and review. Now we've already talked about memorizing hymns. Sing them during your drives, walks, or chores. Some of you don't drive a lot, but those who have to drive to work every day, sometimes that's a long way because you can't afford to live in a house that's right next to your, or close to your work. So I work with a fellow who drives 2 hours a day, 1 hour in, 1 hour out. And so he's got lots of time on his hand, but you can't be opening a book and reading it. You're trying to drive and see the dots on the road and the other drivers. So what do you have in terms of audio? You have lots of choices. You know, you have, what do they call, oh shoot, okay, never mind.
So much for being with it.
Not with it, not always with it. But you can listen to sermons, you can listen to books read on CDs, you can listen to music, of course. But in the silent moments, what can you do? You can draw those things from your heart. You can work on those scriptures and those hymns you've been memorizing. And when I get to a red light, I've got 3x5 cards. That's how I do memory. In fact, I've got a file I'm willing to email anybody. There's 10 hymns that I've got formatted so that if you print it out, you can cut it and glue stick it to a 3x5 card. And I've got dozens of 3x5 cards in my car. So when I get at a red light, instead of going, why is this light taking so long? Why did that person cut me off and I just missed the yellow light? Shoot. Forgive me, Lord. My impatience shows while I'm driving more than any other time. Phil? The hymns on YouTube. There you go. Listen to them. You know, it takes a young man to point out modern technology to us old guys. Trudy.
I discovered at a neighbor's house, maybe nobody in this church would ever have Siri in their house.
Siri, yeah.
But I was trying to explain to her the alternate tunes, like drop of ages. And I thought, she says, well, let's try Siri.
There you go. Super. Just say Rock of Ages, James Ward, Siri. Please play it, and then you get to hear it. That's modern technology for you. I'm so buried in the 1980s. You know, where's your cassette tape? Where's your tape deck, you know?
I mean, I was just amazed that modern technology has accepted a lot of this into it.
Yeah.
That we could use for our benefit.
Yeah. Or Siri, let me hear John chapter 3, and you just get it all read. So,
There's an old gospel song, Turn Your Radio On.
That's great.
Listen to the Lord.
Listen to the Lord. So one person mentioned YouTube, one person mentioned Siri, one person just mentioned Turn Your Radio On, find that Christian station. Sure, so there's lots of options to redeem the time. Podcast is the word I was trying to think of. Like, I'm so 1980s. Pod, like peas in a pod, you mean? No. iPod? No. Okay, moving on. Wink, wink. Listen to hymn CDs and MP3s as you drive or exercise. We kind of covered that. Lots of ways to do that. Sing a hymn as the first thing you do every day. So I don't know about you, but I am not 100% human when my alarm clock goes off. I'm about 47%. So between then and that, when that coffee kicks in and I say, okay, now I'm ready to face the day, why not have a hymn just roll off your lips? Do it every day, and so you've memorized it. You don't have to really think hard about it. Or a praise song, or just something simple for that 47% of brain cells that are activated to give it to the Lord. You say this, you know, what do we sing in Psalm 5? Give ear to my word, O Lord. Consider my meditations. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. Thank you. That's where I was going with that. Thank you. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. There used to be a praise song called Let the First Song I Sing Today Be Praise to You. And that used to be a great one for me to wake up to. And it just gets your foot in the right direction. Gets you going towards the Lord instead of away from the Lord. Find hymns that express well your own faith experience. I think we all have favorites. If we were to, take time to write down a little list of our 3 or 5 favorite hymns, we'd probably all have some in mind anyway. Mine is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Goes back to my college days, and it has been ever since. And I've memorized it, and it has brought great comfort to me and great praise to the Lord. But it expresses my faith, that this is not about what I do for God. It's about what God has done for me and what he promises to continue doing for me. Share portions of hymns as encouragement to friends and family. Now, I know that's not going to fly with everybody, but it might be just like one level removed from sharing a scripture. Somebody hears a scripture come out of your mouth, and there's a certain blockade that comes up and says, oh, I'm being preached at. But you share words from a song, a favorite song. Wow, yeah, tell me about your favorite song. And there's just this line in there, you know. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Just a little, you know, a little blurb. And I think there's more open doors opportunities there. So now we're kind of getting into the testimony side of it. Share portions of hymns as part of your testimony to the unsaved. Share with your loved ones. I didn't spell this right, so forgive me, but share with your loved ones your preferences of hymns to help them in planning for your memorial service. So many of us have gotten to that point where we're thinking a lot about what we're going to instruct people behind us. Where are we going to put that folder so that they know here's where the money's buried in the backyard, you know, or here's the password to my laptop, or, you know, here's how you work my phone, or whatever. Here's my lawyer. Here's where my will is. Here's where my safe deposit box keys are. Those kinds of things. Somewhere in there would be nice if you said, here's what I would really love to have at my memorial service. It's your choice. It's your decision, because I'm not going to be around. But if you're just floundering those days before the service comes and the pastor says, so, what was your dad's favorite hymn? I don't know. He never talked about it. Well, did he write it down somewhere? Oh, let me check. Look at that. There's his favorite hymn. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's open with that. Okay. So that's the kind of thing you can be thinking of as you're thinking of legacy. Favorite scriptures, favorite hymns, people that you'd like to have share, something like that. And share it with the pastor too, because he'll probably want to know that when he's planning your service. Don't mean to be morbid or anything, but we're all going to die. It happens. Okay, read hymns as poetry. Poetry is an acquired taste, right? Not everybody loves the idea when somebody says, hey, I wrote a poem. Would you like to read it? Hey, I wrote a poem. Would you like me to read it to you? Hey, I'll put a poem in my Christmas letter every year and let me know what you think of it. Okay, we get a little nervous. I get that. But we love the hymns. We love the hymns. They are written to fit to a tune that has a very well-defined meter, well-defined places to put rhymes usually, well-defined rhythm to it, that it rolls off the tongue. They're written that way. They're written to sound good. That's what poetry is words that sound better when you put them in that order. So hymns are poetry. Enjoy them. Enjoy just reading through them and saying, this is beautiful. I never could have said it this way. But it's what I believe. I just never would have said it that way. Yeah, Jim.
On that subject of poetry and hymns, I can't let this pass without saying something about William Cooper.
Okay, William Cooper. Mm-hmm. There is a fountain filled with blood, is what he's referring to. Written by William Cooper, who was depressed.
Mm-hmm. But there's others like that. That's not the only thing he wrote.
Right.
I think his work kind of bled over into John Newton's.
Yes. So John Newton was William Cooper's pastor, and he knew his history with depression and that he wanted to end his life. And that he didn't see any value in his being alive. And John Newton counseled him, comforted him, pointed him to scriptures, and said, you have a gift. You should be using that gift to draw your insights into the hard things of the Christian faith. We have a lot of people who are really good at praising God. We don't have a lot of people who are really good about explaining the depths of despair as a Christian. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. It's just wonderful. So yeah, that's part of studying from these books, the authors of the hymns, getting to know them, getting to know what their background is. It adds more meaning to it. All right, moving forward. Find scriptures and doctrinal truths in the hymns to meditate on. For example, we sing a psalm every Sunday. Not all the hymns are obvious scripture references, but some of them are. And when you find that, that's a nugget. Take that nugget home and open up your Bible and say, I'm going to read that before and after. Where did that one verse come from? You know? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto him against that day. What does all that mean? Where does Paul coming from when he says that? What is it that he's is not going to be taken away from him? You know, so a little bit of research. Being Berean, as they used to say, be Berean in your study. Look for those nuggets in the hymns and pursue them. For families, there is a section in the hymnal called Marriage and the Home, and there are some good family-related and marriage-related hymns. 717 to 723. We're going to close with one of those, number 719. Consider also using, in the hymnal, Psalter readings in your devotions. There's a leader and a congregation back and forth. So they are, what are those called? Responsive readings. You could do that with your spouse. You could do that with your family. Just having your people verbalize the scriptures, verbalize the hymns. It's a blessing. There are creeds. There are two creeds in the hymnal, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. You can use those in your devotions just to refresh what we believe in as Trinity-believing, Bible-following Christians. There's the Westminster Confession of Faith, as Pastor Connor has been teaching about. That's very rich, very dense, lots of truth put into small, compact sentences. So they take some thinking through. And then following that is the Shorter Catechism, written in question and answer form. So again, good learning, good studying, even committing those to memory are good for our souls. Yes.
That whether our tomorrow be filled with good or ill, mm-hmm. and then we'll triumph through our sorrows and rise to pleasure still. And that condensed everything.
There you go.
I wanted to say mm-hmm. to that person
mm-hmm.
In prayer.
So she's writing a letter, a note to her friend, who just to tell her that she's praying for her, and she came across this line in the hymn that we just sang already. And whether our tomorrows be filled with good or ill, we'll triumph through our sorrows and rise to bless you still. And that just condensed in a poetic two lines everything that she was trying to say. Thank you for sharing that. We're getting close to, it is time for the hymn of the month, Holy, Holy, Holy. One more that we're memorizing, we're committing to memory. We've done 4 weeks now. This is the fourth week. So we're going to be working on stanza 4. If you need help, it's hymnal number 100, or there are blue cards, which I've been putting out every week, to keep as a tool for yourself. The good news is stanza 4 is almost identical to stanza 1. So the only line that changed is, I think it's the third line. I don't have it in front of me, but let's recite it first. Recite it first together. Use your help if you need it, or close your eyes if you can do it by memory. Stanza 4 of Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Let's sing through the whole hymn now, okay?
Oh,
Amen. Thank you for going on that journey with me. That's good. That's good hymn writing and good singing, and God is to be praised. We have just like a minute. One thing I've been sparing you from is my list of occupational hymns. Those of you who go way back to the early days of my hymn class know that the astronaut's favorite hymn, Nearer My God to Thee. The baker's favorite hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. Like I said, I've been sparing you. The bakery delivery driver's favorite hymn, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. The baseball umpire, Be Thou My Vision. And the baseball batter, Seek Thee First. The civil engineer, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. The chiropractor, Awake My Soul, Stretch Every Nerve. The census taker, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. The dentist, obviously, crown him with many crowns. The electrician has two, O joyful light and send the light. Fishermen, shall we gather at the river? Florist, consider the lilies. Paramedic, revive us again. Paratrooper, now on land and sea descending. Okay. The politician, standing on the promises. Real estate agent, I've got a mansion. And I'll close with the shopper's favorite hymn, Sweet By and By. Now there's highway hymns as well. If you must speed on the highway, and I'm not promoting this, but if you must, sing these hymns loudly at 70 miles per hour, God will take care of you. At 80 miles per hour, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. At 90 miles per hour, nearer my God to thee. At 100 miles per hour, nearer, still nearer. At 110 miles per hour, and my car doesn't go 110, so this is just speculative. This world is not my home. At 120 miles per hour, Lord, I'm coming home. And at 130 miles per hour, precious memories. So again, don't take that as a directive. Thank you. Let's sing our closing hymn now at 7:19. And since the topic of today was bringing it home, I wanted it to end in the home. So let's sing A Christian Home to the tune of Finlandia.
What was the number?
719, 719, A Christian Home.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you very much for being part of this class. You've made it what a wonderful time for me to be here and to be interacting with you and instructing and sharing. Go forth. Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you very much. God bless your day. I think everybody.